Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. This is ridiculous. We're almost finished this Masechet at this rate. So we're already holding on Daf Yud Zayin, which is quite remarkable. And we're holding in the middle of two very fascinating sugyas, very deeply interrelated sugyas. One was that yesterday we learned that there is a four-way machlokas about the status of mashkim. So we turned out that according to Rabbi Elazar, mashkim are not mitame, even mitame, even themselves. They have no din of tumah. The entire halacha of mashkim being tame is only a derabbanan, and he explains all of the psukim that seem to say very clearly the opposite in all kinds of different ways that it's referring to heksher and so on and so forth. Then we add Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir Shita's midiraisa, they do have tumas atzma, but they cannot be metame anything else. Then we had Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Shita, that mashkim are metame ochlin midiraisa, but they're not metame kelim. And then we had the amazing Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that mashkin are even metame kelim. And he based this on the posik of Asher Yishate Bechol Kli. And that meant that even the Kli would be metame. That was sugya number one. The other sugya that turned out to be deeply related was how to understand the edus of Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda in Masechet Idiot, and that was the special halacha about Mashka Beit Mitbechaya or Dechan. And we had a number of variables. A, how do we define Mashka Beit Mitbechaya? Is that referring to water and dam in the literal Beit HaMitbechayim, which was the area where the karbonets were shechted and were washed off, which was to the tzofen of the Mizbeach? It's one possibility. But then, of course, it wouldn't include other things in the Azara. It would include other mashkin, let's say Shemen, Yayin. That certainly would be Metame. It would not be included. Or did it include all of them? That was called Mashke Beit Mitbechayim. That was a question of how exactly to read what he was referring to. Now, the other question is, what did the word dechan mean? So there we had a machlokas. Dechan could mean they're not even metame themselves, and there's zero tuma on anything that's mashke inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and that was something that Rav held. Or it could mean that they are dechan in terms of being metame anything else, but they themselves would be able to be mekabel tuma, and then we could put together these two variables in different ways. Then there was another variable. The other variable was, our first assumption was that the meaning of that dechan is based on a very profound relationship to the din of mashkin in general, because the meaning of dechan was that the rabbonin were not geyser, the tuma that they normally are geyser on mashkin, in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, I mean, then obviously they can't change the deraisa. So then what the dechan meant would be dependent on what you held the status was of mashkin in general, right? So you could see why initially this is where we're up to yesterday, the sugyas are totally interrelated, because if you hold that mashkin in general have at least tumas atzman midiraisa, you can't possibly say that the rabbanan canceled tumas atzman in the Beis HaMikdash. You can only say that extensions of tumas atzman to be metame acherim, they didn't apply to the Beis HaMikdash. So that was one variable, and that was the variable we've been assuming as a given throughout the discussion so far. Then the other possibility that will turn up today is that actually it has nothing to do with the other sugya, and there's no relationship between the status of mashkin in general and the halacha of the mashkin Beit Mitbechaya is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Therefore, it has no logic. It has no relationship whatsoever to the din of mayim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and is therefore unrelated to the machlokas that we have between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon and so on in our sugya. Okay, so the last thing that we had learned yesterday that remained open was the really cute story about how it was that Rav Huna Bar Chinina wanted his son to stump the new Rosh Yeshiva. He was going to Rav Papa's yeshiva, and he was going to ask him this killer of a question, which in fact has no answer as far as we could come up with. And that is that if you hold that there is such a din of any type of tumas atzma on mayim, and then you would still try to turn that into an understanding of how Yossi ben Yoezer's Dechan would be understood, which obviously, according to the variable that we've been taking, that the whole thing is a question of how the Rabbanim were Goyzer. So then if Mashkin Aftumas Atzma Midiraisa, then the only way to understand Dechan is that when it comes to being Matami, other things, they're not Matami in the Beis HaMikdash. They only have their own Tuma. Here's the killer question. Once you're ready to admit that they have their own Tuma, you're finitoed. Because the Torah said that any Basar that is Nogea Bechol Tame, is Nogea Bechol Tame, then by definition, once you say something is Tame, then you are saying it's going to be Matame the Basar in the Beis HaMikdash, because it says any Basar that's Nogea Bechol Tame. How are you going to get out of that? So you will end up with a complete inconsistency in how you understand the Pesukim. So you've got apparently no choice. His son was supposed to ask for Papa. You've got no choice but to accept that the Chan would mean completely. In which case, you would have to accept the Shita that Mayim has zero Tuma, even Tumat Atzmo, as far as the Diraisa is concerned. Now, all of this, of course, is based on the assumption that the Halacha of Yossi ben Yoezer is just an analysis of whether the Rabbonan implemented a Gzera of Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the only way to get out of this question is, of course, to question exactly that assumption. If, in the end, the halacha of Yossi ben Yoezer is a halacha l'mashmi Sinai, then there is zero correlation between his shita and, I should say shita, his reporting of the halacha l'mashmi Sinai, and the general question of Mashkin all over the place, which is, it's irrelevant. The Torah said, magically, in the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Matrega of the Beis HaMikdash, Tuma is canceled. It's a no Tuma zone. And therefore, there is zero Tuma that you would find in the Beis HaMikdash in Mashkin. Fine. Nothing to do about it. That's going to turn out to be the only comeback that you could possibly have to this hopeless question. I mean, you certainly don't want Rav Papa to be trapped by his brand new student and then have to give up his chair, right? So we'll find out that, in fact, that's what Rav Papa is going to actually come back with, as it turns out, later today. So I'm just reminding you of all of this from yesterday, because all of a sudden Rav Papa pops up with this new variable. We forget. Well, of course, Rav Papa was the one who was trapped by the question. Okay, so today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Yud Zayin, and we were up to the questions that we had on the shitas of Rav initially, in which we need to understand how the Bechina that Chagai gave to the Kohanim, how in the world it works out if you do not hold that there is such a thing as Tuma on Mashkin. The whole question wouldn't even make sense at all. So here is the story. The Kohanim are coming back, and they're coming to the newly process of building this during Daryovish's Malchus, and they're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and Chagai comes and says, look, you know, we need to institute a smicha bechina to Kohanim because we can't allow them to work in the Beis HaMikdash if they don't know what they're doing. So they're going to have to be complete bekiyim, and there's no such thing as getting a grade of 99%. Because, I mean, that 1% can mess up 100 korbanos a day. I mean, forget it. So either you get your questions 100% right, or you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, as I said yesterday, I really wonder how the goyim learned this. Because, like, these questions that he asked them are nogea, like all of these sugyas, all of the different shitas, and these kohanim are supposed to be bringing up the shilas in advance, of course, before we even learned it. They had to figure out on their own the issues that are involved. I mean, this is serious bechinas. I can just imagine what the new version Bible has to say about this. Okay, but anyway, so here's what Chagai says to them, and it's like really strange. So he says, okay, here's your first question. Now, they also have to know how to be medayik, exactly what he's asking. These are like these trick questions that you sometimes get on the multiple choice questions, right? So they can be read all kinds of different ways. And what you're really thinking is, what does this idiot mean when he asks the question? Because he could mean this and he could mean that. And getting the answer right means having a theory of mind of the insane instructor. But since in this case, it's Chagai Hanavi, so okay, you better have that in mind properly. So here's the question. A guy is carrying around Besar Kodesh. Now, Besar Kodesh in this context does not mean holy meat. It means the opposite. Like Kadesh Haya Ba'aretz, as Rashi points out. It means tumah. We just don't want to say the word tumah. We don't want to say the word charitz. We say, oi, like you say in Yiddish, when the house is a total and absolute mess, oi vei sahegdish. Okay. So it's a complete and total disaster. So he's carrying around this tumah meat, okay, which apparently is not meat. I mean, it's Kodesh means it's a sher. It's not edible meat. And he's carrying this around by the corner of his garment. I don't want to refer to it anymore as even telling you a remez that it's a sheretz. I'll call it the knaf. That's how Rashi learns from this point on. And now that knaf, which really means the sheretz, again, this is the way Rashi understands it. That sheretz now will touch bread. And then the bread will go ahead and touch a nazid, which we know is a stew. That was the story we just had in the Chumash. And then the stew will touch some wine, and then the wine will touch some oil or some other food. The question is, ha-yikdash, will the last thing that it touched, the oil or the other thing, will that be considered to be tame or not? So again, the word ha-yikdash means, will the kedusha, i.e. the tuma that was in the knaf bigdo, be communicated or not? And the Kohanim say, no, absolutely not. Now, what appears to have happened over here is, let's understand the case. Assuming that this is what was meant by the question, so then we've got the situation like this. A avatuma, which is a sheretz, then goes ahead and touches bread, which makes the bread a rishon. And then the bread touches this nezid adashim, you know, and that makes it a sheni. And then that sheni touches yayin, which makes the yayin a shlishi. And then the yayin touches shemen or some other food, which would make it a revi. Now, since there is such a concept of a revi b'kodesh, then when he's saying hayikdash, that's a good question. Answer the Kohanim, and they say no. Now, note that he didn't say hayitma. He said hayigdash. Aha. That's a very telling thing. Because, I mean, if he would have said hayitma, actually, they would be 100% right. Because a revi b'kodesh is not tame. It's pasul. So he was careful not to say hayitma. He asked them, will it be, in fact, unusable? Meaning that it's pasul. The Kohanim say no. It will not be possible. Now, Rav says, oh, man, finished. That's it. They just failed. Because obviously there is such a thing as a Revi B'Kodesh, and they were Ishtabesh Kune, and therefore they couldn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the halacha is that actually it would have been a Revi B'Kodesh, and a Revi B'Kodesh should be possible. So the question over here is, how do you read the question? Chagai's asking a question that couldn't have happened at all. Because if Rav himself is the one who says that Yossi ben Yoezer claims that the Chan means there's no tumah whatsoever, so even if you tell me that we're talking about over here, well, maybe there was a gezerah midrabbanan at that time for tuma, and this gezerah was so early, it was even at the time of Chagai, and it was an old gezerah from the zman of the Anshei Knesset Hagdela. But remember, I mean, Yossi ben Yoezer says we did not include the Beis HaMikdash, right? So whatever you're talking about, there is no way for these Kohanim to have made a mistake. I mean, there is no such concept of tumah on these mashkim, the oil, the wine, according to Rav. Don't try to tell me that, well, but there's a drabbanan, and the Kohanim indeed made a mistake was because it's going not aliba to Yossi ben Yoezer. I mean, Yossi ben Yoezer can't disagree with the Torah. The Torah says over here that these things are supposed to be tame. And it's in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's Yossi ben Yoezer claiming that they're not tame in the Beis HaMikdash? So something is totally messed up over here. Because Rav is the last one who could possibly have said that these things are supposed to be tame, and the question doesn't even make any sense. Oh, wait a minute over here, says Igmar. Look, it's not a problem. You're only asking, this is a problem only according to Rav, right? I mean, because after all, everybody else was saying that, no, they do have Tumas Atzman, and so on. So, I mean, there's no problem over here. Adarabba, everybody else may have a problem because over here we're claiming that the wine could be metame, the oil. Oh, that's a problem according to anybody. But according to Rav, we don't have any problem, remember? Because Rav is the one who said that the correct, this is the other factor, what was the meaning of Mashke Beit Mitpachaya? That was the first variable. Rav says it means Mashke Beit Mitpachaya only. It only included water and blood. It did not include the wine and the oil. So what's your problem? Chagai was asking them about the other things. So therefore, according to Rav, who holds Mashke Beit Madbachaya, Armitami, so then everything would be okay because apparently there already was a Gezerah on Tumas Mashkin would be Matami other things. And according to Rav, this would be true even in the Beis HaMikdash, even according to Yosef ben Yoezer, if you were talking about oil and wine. So Enochinami, it does mean Midrabanan, and Chagai was asking them about the Gezeras of the Anshei Knesset HaGedela, but fine, there should be a Shlishi, and then a Revi, and the Revi would be Tamei, and that's exactly apparently why Chagai had set up the question like this, because this question is based on your knowledge of the latest news in Gezeres Derabanan. Because the first thing that a Kohen who wasn't up to date would think, ah, a trick question. Ochlin is Matame Ochlin, huh? No, siree, I'm not going to be stuck by that one. And Mashkin or Matame Mashkin? Bull. Ah, but he doesn't know. And that's why he fails again. He doesn't know that there's a Gezera that La doesn't even enjoy this question, all right? I mean, you'd think he'd be sitting there thinking, and if I were a Kohen, what would I have said? Nothing. It's cool. Artificial intelligence. Everything is all right. No. No, this is not AI. It requires smiles all the way down. So, there we go. All right. That one will count for the whole time. I won't bother you again. So now, the Shiloh would be, there's all kinds of things you got to know about. You got to know about the Gezera that Ochlin Matami, Ochlin Rabbanan. You got to know about the Gezera that there's also Tuma on Mashkin. And you got to know the difference between Tuma, the base Mitbechaya and the base Madbechaya. I mean, these guys needed to be totally up to date on our Sugya. Yes, as you could see, this is a very contemporary Sugya. And that would mean that they are indeed we're wrong, and Rav is 100% correct. Okay, so we got no problem with Rav over here. But I'd like to know what the results were on the Bechina, because actually, it's only Rav who claims that the Kohanim messed up. Actually, Shmuel says, no, they were 100% right. So how is it possible to be 100% right? So Rav Amar Ishtabushkanu, because the question was, Revi Bekodesh, as we analyzed. There were four steps down from the Sheretz. And therefore, I'm asking you, Revi Bekodesh, and the din is, of course, the Revi Bekodesh is Mitame. So what does Shmuel hold? Shmuel says, you're not reading the Pasuk correctly. Shmuel says the Kohanim were absolutely correct, because if you analyze the Pasuk properly, then you will understand that the question actually was, is there such a thing as Hamishi Bekodesh? And that is correct. There is no such thing as Hamishi Bekodesh. And the Kohanim said they're Tohar, and we're going to explain this in a second. And that is the reason that I say that they were right. Wait a minute. I mean, I'm reading the Pasuk. It's right here in front of me. I mean, according to Rav, it makes very good sense. There were four levels after the Sheretz. Lechem, Nezid, Yayin, Veshemen. So Shemen is number four. That's Revi Bekodesh. Where does Shmuel come up with Chamisha? Chamisha? Where do you see Chamisha? Well, says Shmuel, read correctly. It doesn't say Vinaga Knafo. Does it say, look, you're saying that we're using the Knaf as a synonym for the Sheretz, right? The Kodesh, the Basar Kodesh, which we said is the Sheretz. Well, then why doesn't it say Vinaga Knafo? That the Sheretz touched the Lechem, the Zid, and so on and so forth. Why does it say Biknafo? So obviously that is being merames to any intelligent Kohen who knows how to read and therefore interpret the question correctly, that actually something else touched that Sheretz, and now that thing, Biknafo, with the thing, so maybe that thing was a knife, a kli, right? Okay, so he touched with that thing, he touched the Sheretz, and that means that the knife became, or the spoon became a rishon from the sheretz, and then it touched the lechem, which made the lechem a sheni, and then by the time we get down to the shemen, we are at chamishi. So according to Shmuel, the Kohanim were correctly identified the language issue, and they were medayik in the word biknafo, and they understood that the question was chamishi b'kodesh, and they answered correctly, no. Great. So it means b'mashin naga biknafo. All right. Let's see whether Rav could be correct from internal analysis of the Bechina of Chagai, okay? It doesn't make sense to say that the Kohanim were wrong, because look at the next question that Chagai asks. Vayomer Chagai, okay, I'm not telling if you're right or wrong. Answer me, what would have been the din if instead of the sheretz that we're talking about, what would be the din if somebody who was Tamei Nefesh touched any of these things? Would it be Tameh or not? So the Kohanim said, it will. In that case, it will. Which, of course, is true. It will. Well, not really. It's not really true. And we'll see that it depends how well you're medayik the psukim. So this is a machlokas rishonim. We're going to take Rashi's approach over here. But notice that the question in the second question was not Hayikdash, but was Hayitma. So now the issue is, if the question is Hayitma, then he's not asking about whether it's Pasul. He's asking about whether it's really Tame. And in that case, the Kohanim made a mistake over here too. All right, we'll see about that problem later. But let's right now assume that there's no difference between Hayikdash and Hayitma. And he was once again asking a Revi'i B'Kodesh. And in this case, now it works out, of course, according to Shmuel, there's no longer a bichnafav, right? Because you can't be talking about bichnafav, since if we were talking about the knaf, I mean, there's no nafkamina when it comes to a knaf or a beged. He's talking about the tamei nefesh. So that means a person who touched, not a mace, but a tamei mace, he touches the bread, right? Okay, so then the question would be whether we're talking about the actual tumas mace touches the bread, or are we talking about somebody who became tome from tumas mace? That we'll have to see. But assuming that you're talking about someone who is an avatuma, who had touched a mace, then they gave the correct answer, correct? Because there was no biknafav anymore. So, all right. So according to Shmuel, the Kohanim did not make a mistake over here. And they said it's Tomei. Now, according to the way Rav understood it, where there never was a biknafav, even in the first question, and it was just substituting for the sheretz, a Tomei mace, who's an avatuma, why in the world did the Kohanim get this one right and get the first one wrong? If the way Rav understands it, it's essentially the same question, and it's simply substituting a avatuma min ames for an avatuma that's a sheretz. It doesn't make any sense. So Bishlam Shmuel understands that there were two different questions. One of them was chamishi b'kodesh because of the bichnafav. The other one was a direct negia of a tamei meis, which was one madrega closer to touching the lecha. So then in the same way that they obviously knew the din over here and they said, yep, that would be Tamei. So then they knew the way answer in the first one. But I mean, Rav would also have to agree that in this case, they were right. It was Tamei. So according to Rav, how do you explain the fact that when it comes to the second question, they knew the din, and then the exact same question in the first question, they didn't know the din. I don't understand that. It seems inconsistent. Look, once people don't know the din, I mean, you never know where they mess up. I mean, maybe they were bekiyin in the halachas of Tumas Meis, and they weren't bekiyin in the halachas of Tumas Sheretz. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we'd have to figure out why. I mean, what would be the logic between making that kind of mistake? Maybe it's because of the fact that there's the additional chumra of Tumas Meis that you're always exposed to, and that it's aviyavos ha-tumah, whatever. There's different approaches to why that would be so. Ravina says, no. Actually, what it was talking about is that when we were talking about Tumas Sheretz, he was talking about a Revi. They didn't know about a Revi. But over here, when they were talking about Tumas Meis, he was asking them about a Shalishi. which of course is why it says tummy, not yikdash. And over here, it does not mean that a person who had touched the tummy mace is an avatuma. It means that the bread itself came into contact with a mace. That's what it means. In which case, the bread is an avatuma. Now, you'll ask the obvious question, bread cannot be an avatuma, which is correct. Bread cannot be an avatuma. Oakland cannot be an avatuma. So what sense does Ravina make? It makes all the sense in the world, guys. Because there's two elements. This is so beautiful. Come on. It's two completely different issues, whether you call something an avatuma or a vladatuma, that is involved. A, the level of how many steps can follow is defined differently if it's an aviavot, which then has how many levels? Okay, it goes down to av. From there, Rishon, Cheney, Shalishi, and so on, right? Then there's another question. The other question is the impact of that tuma on an object. So when we say that Ochlin cannot be an avatuma, what we mean is they cannot carry the type of tuma that can impact Adam the Kalim. That's all that we mean. We don't mean they cannot be an avatuma in the sense of being darga A, which then goes down to A to 1, 2, 3, 4, nor do we mean they cannot be the darga of A plus, so to speak. We're not talking about that. Those are dargas. So now if the lechem comes in touch with an actual body, so now it becomes A, and A can go to 1, 2, 3, 4. So in this case, actually, what happened was that he was really asking them in the case of the mace, since we started at A and not at 1, so therefore we had the problem because the bread itself was actually an avatuma, whereas in the other case, the bread itself from the sheretz was only a 1. So then we went to 1, 2, 3, 4. They didn't know about the din of the Revi B'Kodesh. But over here, they knew this very beautiful point that if something comes into touch with an avi avot hatuma, even if it's oichel and can't be an av, it can be the darga of an av, and therefore they answered correctly that this is a shlishi, that they knew. And that's why they said that the oil is tame. Brilliant. So according to Ravina, it makes a great deal of sense. They made a mistake about a revi, and they knew the din of the shlishi, and you can no longer ask. So what, just arbitrarily, they knew about Tumas Meis, they didn't know about Tumas Sheretz? No, this is actually a brilliant understanding of the second question. Now, that's only one way of learning Ravina. The other issue would be whether we're going to take into consideration the fact that the question was Hayitma versus Hayikdash, right? So over here, if in this case it was a shlishi, then it would be hayitma. In the first case, it was hayigdash, which would mean that it would not be a tame, it would be only a revi. So it fits in very, very well, right? Okay, the Rambam has a very different take on it. I won't drive you crazy today, and we'll stick with this, so that it turns out that according to Rav, it makes a great deal of sense. They did not understand the dinim of psul b'kodesh, but they did understand the dinim of tumah b'kodesh. Furthermore, they were able to extend the concept of av into this new idea of av and distinguish between the nature of av in terms of what it's metame and the nature of av in terms of what darga it's metame. So they really were pretty good on this test. Okay, let's take a look about whether Shmuel could be correct, because Shmuel claims that they got 100% on this test. Now, that doesn't make any sense, because Chagai's response to the after marking the test papers was Vayan Chagai Vayomer. What Hashem says is, you see, Kena Amaze v'chena goy amaze lefanai ne'um Hashem. They're a bunch of idiots. They always mess everything up and make things tummy. So they're doing the same thing today. Look at these tests. You think they never went to school? So if that's the case, according to Shmuel, why are they being given this kind of put down after they did so well on the test? I don't understand. So according to Rav, yes, that's why it says in that pasuk, everything that they do is tummy. But according to Shmuel, why in the world does it say tummy? No, you read it wrong. I mean, come on, you got to know the tonality. the way to read Haggai's response is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, see, everybody says these guys stink. Look at these test results. These guys are amazing. You're going to say people like this, what they do is tamei? No way. So this is a question of whether you've got a Haredi response or whether you've got a, you know, a Mizrahi response. I mean, it's very different. Are we looking at this positively? Klal Yisrael is wonderful, or is Klal Yisrael terrible? And, okay, so it may be atmiyaka mitamet. Fine, possibly. Says the Gemara, what, wait a minute. That's dishonest. Look at the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, and that's the way everything is. V'chein koma seyedehem. I mean, obviously that is negative, not positive. So how are you possibly reading that that's supposed to be atmiya kometame? Yeah, okay, I guess you're right. You know, okay, but there's still a way to make it work out. This is very interesting because the Gaonim learned that the meaning in the pasuk is like this. That it was really a nasty trick. He's not very nice. So Haggai asked them a question in which the results that they would have to give if they were going to get the correct answer was Yitma. And then Haggai would turn around and see, they're right. It's Tamei. Everything that they do is Tamei. A bunch of no good nicks because I'm telling you what's going to happen with this Beis HaMikdash. Everybody's sitting here, yeah, great, great, great. Let me give you an insight into 420 years in the future. There are a bunch of idiots who get this by something that's destroyed, and this is, and the, see, they said it was tummy up front. So this is really sort of a trick, and he was just pulling off the word tummy. But actually, it was mitok shekilkuluit ma'aseyem in the end. They were going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they were mekalkel the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says, yes, and because of that, I look at everything that they're doing is basically being in a state of tumah because their brains are in a state of tumah. You can't get them out of tumah. So they think that they're hot stuff just because they got good grades on their bechina, and now they're waving around their smicha. See, we're wonderful. I don't look at the smicha. I look at your brains, and this is the way they are. They're just a bunch of tummies. Okay, anyway, so those are the different ways of understanding the interaction with Haggai. Now, let's take a look back to the Yossi Ben Yoezer issue. And we said that, remember, we had a number of outstanding elements of Yossi Ben Yoezer. Was he referring to Mashke Beit Mitbechaya? Was he referring to Beit Madbechaya? And was he talking about the Chan from themselves or the Chan for others? And we also mentioned what the Gemara hasn't yet taken up, which is the question of, is this a Rabbonin? And a question of when the Rabbonin were Goyzer, or is this, in fact, the Yoraisa? Okay, so let's take a look at this today. Gufa. Getting back to the Machlokas of Rav, it turns out to be a Machlokas, Rav Alevi. How do we read Yossi ben Yoezer? So Rav gives over the Mishnah about Yossi ben Yoezer as Mashke Beit Mit Bechaya, which refers to only Dam and Mayim. Levi says, no, Mashke Beit Mad Bechaya. Those things that are put on the Mizbeach, which includes not only Dam and Mayim. Mayim is put on the Mizbeach. Remember, even in terms of Nisuch HaMayim, there's literally Mayim on the Mizbeach, and there's Dam on the Mizbeach. And there's Shemin on the Mizbeach, and there's Yayin on the Mizbeach. It's all included. Now, according to Levi, what I want to know is, how does the Machlokas about what Mashke Beit Mechaya are, how does it interrelate to the Shitas of what does Dechan mean? Okay? So I want to show you that there is a fascinating interrelationship in which the same people who say one thing have to say something else about the other thing. Let's take a look at Levi. Now, if Levi understood the other variable, which is how do we understand Dechan? So if Levi understood Dechan the way Shmuel understood Dechan, which is Dechan for being metame other things, but they are tame themselves, so then I understand the question that Haggai is asking, because in the end, the Shemen on the Mizbeach, so the Shemen is, all of these things, I mean, where do we get the idea that these things are Tameh? Because they have Tumas Atzmon. You'll say, yeah, but over here the Shemen got Tuma from the Yayin, and I thought they can't get the Tuma from the Yayin because they don't have a Tuma to be Matameh Acherim. So how in the world do you read the Haggai? Well, you're going to have to change the question of Haggai. The question of Haggai, according to this, would have been directly about not a chain of unfortunate events, but rather an initial unfortunate event. Namely, in each one of these cases, Tuma touched the thing that we're talking about. Not that A then touched B, the lechem touched the nazi touched the yayin, the yayin. No. What Chagai was asking is what would be the din if someone who is tameh touches directly, so a person who is a rishon would have touched himself, would have touched bread, or he would have touched the nazid, or he would have touched the yayin, or the shemen. So then, according to this, the Kohanim said, yes, Eve, in other words, he wanted to trap them up on exactly this question. What is the halacha about mashke beit panpachaya? And would they say that they're tahor or they're tamei? And would he think that the Khan meant that they don't even have tumas atzma? So then the Kohanim said, yes, they would become tamei, and that would be correct, because the only din of the Khan is that they can't be metame other things, but they themselves could become tamei. So then everything is read correctly. But if Levi holds like Rav in the other issue, note this is a little bit confusing, because Rav and Shmuel argue about the meaning of the Khan, and Rav and Levi argue about the meaning of Mashke Beit Mitbechaya, right? So don't get the two confused. That's exactly the question over here. How do these two variables interrelate? So now, if Levi agrees with Rav that the Khan, the definition of the Khan is the Khan Mamash, so then it's not true. It will not be tummy. Why would they say that the oil would become tummy, even if it's touched directly? Why did the Kohanim say that, yes, it would be tummy? So something's wrong. I mean, according to Rav, it's fine, you know, because Rav Bichlal, Rav holds it's talking about Mashke Beit Mitbechayas. It's irrelevant to Rav. But, I mean, according to Levi, he would have to hold of Shmuel and not Rav. You're right. Okay, is that so terrible? Korchachak Shmuel's fairly. Yep. Levi must hold like Shmuel. Okay, how does Shmuel hold? How about Shmuel? Shmuel said the Kohanim were right, and that this Shemen would be a Chamishi. Wait a minute. I mean, if Shmuel himself holds like Rav in the other variable, and that is it's Mashke Beit Mitbechaya, but when it comes to oil or wine, that could be Metame other things as well, right? Okay, so then it makes sense. The problem over here was that Chagai had presented, according to Shmuel, a chamishi b'kodesh, and had the Kohanim said it would be tamei, they would have been wrong, but a revi b'kodesh would have been okay. So the only issue over here is that a revi doesn't make a chamishi, but I mean, certainly it would be a shlishi or a revi, that would be no problem, even though we had mashkin being matame other things, because shlishi would be ovid revi. So then it's true. The only reason that Shmuel insists that the Kohanim did not make a mistake is because the question was it a chamishi? Because of the biknafo, right? But if you're telling me that Shmuel is like Levi, according to which even the halacha should be that if you're talking about wine or you're talking about oil, those are included in the Mashke Beit Madbechaya, so then why does it say, well, it can't make a chamishi. Can't even make a sheni or a shlishi. It can't be metame anything. Why in the world did Shmuel make this big deal of, no, he was asking me chamishi, it's nothing to do with chamishi. It's ridiculous. Afilu sheni v'shlishi nami lo avdi. If he's going to agree that even oil and wine are included in Mashke Beit Matbechaya, okay, you're right. Shmuel would have to hold like Rav in the Machlokas with Levi about the variable of Mashke Beit Mitbechaya or Matbechaya. Lovely, right? Lovely, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who am I talking to over here? Aliens? Okay. All right. Well, I mean, the Israeli general just announced yesterday, you know, that Israel's been in touch with aliens for a while. That makes a lot of things add up. All right. So listen, ye members of the Galactic Federation. Tanya Kavase, the Rav, Tanya Kavase, the Levi. The truth is, if you take a look into the Braisa, we find Braisas that support Mashke Beit Mitbechaya, and we find Braisas that support the Mashke Beit Madbechaya. Here's one that works out according to Levi. Dam, Yayin, Shemen, and Mayim. Woohoo! That includes all of the things that would be put on the Mizbeach. And it says over here, these are all Mashke Beit Madbechaya. Just exactly what Levi said. Works out perfectly. And the issue is, suppose they became tummy inside of the Beis HaMikdash and you then took them outside. Once the halacha was that they're not mekabel tumah, we don't switch the halacha and turn it into regular stuff once it's outside. It doesn't matter. On the other hand, if they were outside of the Beis HaMikdash and they were mekabel tumah, and then you brought them inside, clearly the Rabbanu did not cancel the tumah that was already there, and therefore they are tameh like any other normal mashkin. Okay, this is entirely like Levi, right? But wait a minute, is that really true? I mean, I understand that this is tangential, but it's bothering me. So before we get to the other version in the Braisa that supports Rav, does it make sense that if it became tameh inside and then it was taken out, it's still tahar? Didn't Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that the mashke beimed bechaya were only considered to be dechan while they are bimikoman? It's mashma that the moment you take them out of the azara, but then they become tummy. No? I mean, my love, lamute nitmu befnim votzien lechutz, and now all of a sudden they will become tummy. Isn't that what, it means to me? No, that's not what it means. It means lamute nitmu bechutz vechnisim befnim. Is the other way around. If they became tameh inside, then they remain tameh outside and remain tameh inside. What do you mean? But it says only in their place. Mashmah, if they're out of their place, they're no longer tameh. No, what he means to say, not where they are, where they became toma. That's what it's saying. Okay, can we get now to please to the next price of thanks? I mean, that's what these tangential things. Tanya gavasi to Rav. Okay, so now here's the other brisa. The other brisa says beferish adam v'amayim, and only adam v'amayim, which are mashke beit mit b'chaya, exactly what Rav said, if they became tameh. I don't care how they became tameh, whether they became tameh when they're inside of a kli, they became tameh and they're lying on the ground, makes no difference. And why it should make a difference doesn't make any sense yet. We're going to have to figure this out. But anyway, they're tahar. So, okay, this is clearly a Rav oriented description of mashke beit mit b'chaya, right? So, okay, so now we find our brisas that are supportive of both approaches. Let's continue and see that, by the way, Rabbi Shimon says it ain't so simple. Actually, bekalim, they're tumeim, but bekarka, tahorin, which is really strange. How in is it possible that bekarka, they are tahorin? What possible difference would be between these two things? It must be that clearly what he's talking about is the difference between a mayim, which is tamei midiraisa. If it's tamei midiraisa, then the rabbanon can't change that, or if they're tor midiraisa. So why would they be tor midiraisa? Because they're on the karka. Ah, because we are very prejudiced. Our prejudice concerns the concept of a mikvah. So to us, a mikvah is this big arboim saw kind of hole in the ground, which has been all kinds of stuff has been done to it, make it kosher for the mikveh. It's got this big Chabad sign on it, whatever. But actually, as far as the Torah is concerned, one revius of water that's lying on the ground is a mikveh. It's not a mikveh for being metaher a person, but it's a mikveh for what's called machatim vitsinoriot, which are little tiny, let's say somebody has a needle that became tameh. He could put it into a revius of mayim that's attached to the ground, it'll be tar, which means that mayim on the ground is not going to be able to kabel tumah. That's exactly what Rav Shimon is pointing out, that even though the mashke may be tameh midiraisa, not if they're on the ground, and therefore, even though the chachamim did make a gezerah, and they said that only a mikveh that's big enough for an adam to be tovel in, which is arboim saw, is considered to be a mikveh, even for machatim vitzinorio, they did not make that gezerah when it came to the mayim in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it would mean according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Anyway, we finally get to what the Rosh Hashiva answered when this newcomer put him, backed him into the corner, right? So he said, Omer of Papa, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Afilo l'man di Omer tumas mashkin di araisa. This has nothing to do with the issue of how these sugyas interrelate. They do not interrelate. And this is the third variable that we haven't mentioned yet. When we say that they are dechan, are they dechan because the Rabbanon weren't geyser? No. They are dechan because there's halacha l'meishim Sinai, which is a complete, absolute disregard of all of the dinim of mashkin until that you know about, and it's telling me that anything that would be tamei minyaraisa anywhere else, I don't care what you hold, tumas atzmim, tumas acherim, whatever it is, does not apply in the Beis Hamikdash, okay? So therefore, the Torah has declared by fiat of Halacha L'Beshem Sinai, there is no such thing as tuma mashkin in the Beis Hamikdash, period. Whoa. Amalei Ravuna Bereder of Nasser of Papa. Wait a minute. So when Rabbi Elazar came along and he said, Ein tuma l'mashkin kol ikar, and he brought his raya, remember, teda. Because if mashkin would be tamei midi raisa, how do you explain the fact that Yosef ben Yoezer East Trader went around claiming that mashke beit mitbechaya is dachan? According to you, that's an absurd statement. What do you mean? That's halacha l'Beshem Sinai. It has nothing to do with gezeiras derabbanan. So how do you understand, in Hilchos HaGemirah, how can you learn out anything from there? Migamrina mina? Rabbi Elazar would have been completely off the wall in trying to bring a riot from Halacha L'Beshem Sinai in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a riot to what the status is of Mashkin all over. Zero meaning. Amar Leih Ravina L'Rav Ashi. I had another problem. I don't know what Pop is talking about. But Rabbi Shimon, didn't Rabbi Shimon say Tumas Mashkin is the Oraisa? And he says, even Tamei Kalim, the whole thing, remember? That's how we started yesterday. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, even the Kalim, Mashkin, are Metamim. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon said, Kalim, their Torah. Rabbi Yudah said, even the Kalim, it's Metamim. And they say, no, only La Ochlin, it's Tamei. How do you explain the fact that Rabbi Shimon just said, didn't we read that Brisa when we bring a riot to Rav? And over there, Rabbi Shimon contradicted himself. Rabbi Shimon said that Bekalim, they are Tamei, and Bekarka, they're Tohorim, but only because they're Bekarka, they're Tohorim, because over there, Midiraisa, they're Torah, because they are a mikvah. According to Rav Papa, all of this is crazy. Because if it's Halacha L'Beshem Sinai, where do you get the idea that there's a difference between Kalim, Karka? That's nuts. It's Halacha L'Beshem Sinai. Mashkin's not Mekabel Tumah. What are you giving me this stuff about Kalim or not? Kasha, that is definitely a problem for Rav Papa. There's no question. And interestingly enough, I mean, Rashi sees this as a dechia of the sheet of Rav Papa, but remember, wherever it says kasha, it does not mean to yufta. And in fact, the Rambam introduces Yosef ben Yoezer as Halacha L'Beshem Sinai, exactly like Rav Papa says. So it's not so simple. There may well be answers to this kasha. Okay. I'm Rav Papa. Now, I just want to make clear what Rabbi Shimon said. What do you think he meant? Well, Hod Amrit Bekarka Tahorin, note, even though he pretended he was talking about Mashke Beit Mitbechaya, he wasn't. He was only talking about water. Obviously, when it comes to Dam, it makes no difference whether it's in a Kli or whether it's in a Mayim. I want to make that very clear. And another thing I want to make very clear is that he was using Tahorin on the water and on the ground only because it's a mikveh, in which case it still has to have the minimum requirement of a revius, okay? So let me just make this clear to you. When Reb Shimon said that Bekarka Tahorin, he meant Mayim, not Dam, even though he pretended it was part of Mashka Beit Mitbechaya. And even when he was talking about Mayim, he didn't mean any amount of Mayim. Lo Amr Lahavi revius. Once it's a revius, then it has a dinner of a mikveh midiraisa to be Matayar, Machatim Vitsinorios. Tsinorios, here it says tsinoro, I don't know how to put tsinoro, but it means these little forks that are just tiny and they hold a thread that you could spin with. Okay, but if it's not, then even if it was on the ground, it'd be exactly the same. Lohavi revius, it would be to me. All right, so Omar Ma, can we get back to that brisa that started off the whole thing yesterday? Rav Yehuda said it's tamei even for Kalim. And remember, he was medayik the word asher yishateh b'chol kli, that the kli itself is going to become tamei by the mayim. So he reads it asher yishateh, then even b'chol kli yitma. It's metamei even the kli itself, right? So now you're telling me that Rav Yehuda holds that tumas mashkin, the tamei tumas Kalim is d'oraisa. That's where he's learning it out from, right? Now, how in the world does Rav Yehuda understand? I mean, my gosh, this was like major, major back in Kalim. And remember, we had a whole discussion in Kalim about the difference between Achorayim and Toch and Beit HaTzviyah and which kind of Kalim have an Achorayim v'Toch. Do you remember what that was all about? Let me just remind you. Achorayim v'Toch was this interesting outcome of the Gezerah that the Rabbanan had, that Mashkin can be Metame Kalim which is outrageous midiraisa. And remember, the reason that they made that takana was because of the fact that there are mashkim that are matame kelim. But those, of course, would only be mashkim that are mayonis azov and so on. Okay, but what if, I mean, what if some saliva of azov or some urine of azov touches a kli and whatever? So they were very makbid, therefore, that any type of liquid, because of how easy it would be to confuse, is matame kelim. However, they did not want you to go running around burning truma v'kachim. So remember that they made a crazy din that would remind everybody that it's only a derabbanan. And what did they say? They said, if we understand that there's a concept in the Torah that differentiates between the outside of a kli and the inside of a kli in a completely different context, and that's a reference to a kli cheres, then let's apply that totally out of left field to the din of Tumas Mashkin. That if Tumas Mashkin touch a kli on the inside, so then it's metame the entire kli. But if Tumas Mashkin derabbanan touch a kli on the outside, only the outside is tame. And everybody's, oh, what? Whoever heard of such a thing? How could only the outside be? Ah, must be a derabbanan. And this is a memory device that will make sure not to burn truma v'kachim, and therefore there won't be any bad outcomes, right? So, okay, so the Mishnah goes ahead and discusses all of the klolim, any kli that has a clearly differentiated achorayim v'toch. For instance, you could be talking about pillows, you could be talking about pillow covers, you could be talking about sacks that are filled with things, or leather containers where they could be turned inside out. So then the din is nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, lo nitmatocho, and that's talocha. And look at this, man, Omer Rav Yehuda, and it's the same Rav Yehuda who claimed that mashkin are betame kelim. Omer Rav Yehuda, ba'medvar mamurim, shenitmu machmas mashkin. But if they were nitmu machmas sheretz, nitmatocho, nitmagabo, nitmagabo, nitmatocho. What? According to Rav Yehuda, there's no difference between mashkin and a sheretz, darn it. Or am I crazy? Didn't he just say that he learned out of a pasuk that mashkin are metame because it says b'chol kli? Which means that according to his vision, mashkim are capable of being metame kelim, which means that mashkim are essentially able to be an avatuma. And they have the same impact as an avatuma. That's what he said. So if he is, in fact, Isaac, the tumas mashkin, the tam mikalim is the oraisa, what possible difference is there between a sheretz and a mashkin? They are both avatumas, the oraisa. So, I mean, he's totally contradicting himself. How do you explain that? Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, there is no way to explain that. He obviously changed his mind. Chazar bo Rav Yehuda, it is indeed off the wall. Ravina says, no, I can explain it. Look, it looks like it's a complete contradiction, but not necessarily. Because where he was talking about over here, that there's a difference between mashkim, there are only metame kelim in Rabbanan, and therefore there's a halacha v'achorayim v'toch as opposed to sheretz, that's talking about mashkin that became tame from somebody who didn't do netilat yadayim. Remember, there was one of the gezeras that somebody who does not do netilat yadayim, what's that called? Stam yadayim, right? And stam yadayim are metame mashkin. And those mashkin are chozer and leotchila, all the deals, all of the chumras that we were gozer in the yotches dover and so on. That's what it's talking about. So over there, obviously, there's still a halacha that, even though it's only midrabanan, so there they made the halacha of achorayim v'toch v'beit hatzvita and so on. Fine. But the other one, what he was talking about, was mashkin aboy machma sheretz. If it's boy machma sheretz, like it says in the pasuk. And that he holds that if it's boy machma sheretz, it is, in fact, metame kelim. That's the bottom line. So it all adds up, says the Gemara. No, Ravina, it does not add up. Of course, it doesn't add up. Because if that's what's going on over here, so then why in the world would he make a distinction between sheretz and mashkin? All he needed to do was make a distinction between mashkin and mashkin. And he would have said, if it's mashkin that we're talking machma sheretz, so then the Torah said they're matami akli, and therefore there's no difference between achorai v'tochu bebeit hatzviyah. If it's talking about mashkin, about machmas yadayim, then there is. Instead, he actually makes a difference about whether there's a physical sheretz present versus mashkin. That's crazy. Why would he do that? במה דברים אמורים במשכן הבאים מחמת ידיים, אבל במשכן themselves, not a שרץ, משכן themselves that are באים מחמת שרץ, נתמתוכו, נתמגבו, נתמגבו, נתמתוכו, that's all he would have had to say, okay? אלא מחברתא כדשנינא מעיקרא, clearly we have no choice but to accept the fact that Rabbi Yehuda has definitely changed his mind, and he no longer holds that Mashkin, even Abay Machba Sheretz, that Mashkin Armatami Kalim. Now the question is, he changed his mind, but what does he hold now? Did he change his mind and now he agrees with Rabbi Meir that they're not Matami anything? Did he say, I changed my mind about Kalim, because that was a question of how to read the Pasuk, Asher Yishateh B'chol Kli, but I agree that it would be Metame, Mashkin would be Metame Ochlin. I mean, when you say changed his mind, you're not telling me the whole story. So, Ibailu, Mikalim Udao Darbe, Ava Ba'ochlin, when it comes to being Metame with Mashkin foods, maybe he still agrees to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, that that is Midiraisa, or maybe completely changed his mind. Now he holds like Rabbi Meir, and Mashkim are only Tame for themselves, but they have no ability to Metame anything at all. To get the amazing answer to this question, you will have to come back with a smile tomorrow, and then... And of course, if you want to report back to your Galactic Federation rulers, go right ahead and see if you get permission to come tomorrow morning, same time, same station, and see what indeed Rabbi Yehuda now holds about Mashkin. If you can't sleep and you're at the edge of the chair, I would be willing to do the next daf before you go to bed, but you have to let me know in advance.